This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today on the On Enquirer podcast, Jay Layman, All-American linebacker, joins us to give us his thoughts on Illinois football's 30-28 win over Toledo. Boy, we've had a lot of time to sit here and kind of digest it. I rewatched the film. You can check out my film review at On Enquirer. And Jay Layman does his film review that'll be up on the site on Tuesday as well. Always learn something new with Jay Layman on our film review. So go check that out if you're not a VIP member. You can get 50% off of VIP membership right now, but that deal is expiring in just probably within 24 hours of you listening to this or us publishing it at our podcast feed. So go check that out. But you do learn a lot from Jay in the podcast, as always. And he gives his thoughts on the good Luke Altmyer. How good is he? The secondary, surprisingly, really, really competitive. Maybe surprisingly. But Miles Scott, big plays. Xavier Scott, big plays. We just saw them play pretty well, but the struggles were surprising. Offensive line, defensive line, that's supposed to be what this team is built on. How big of a concern is that moving forward, or is this an outlier? Was it scheme based? Was it, what was it? Jay Layman dives into it with us. So Jay Layman, 30 minutes breaking down what he saw of an actual football game. After 8-9 months of talking about what this team could be, we finally saw a little bit, and some of it was encouraging in a win, and some of it was concerning. And he breaks it down next on the Illini Enquirer podcast. This episode of the Illini Enquirer podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever find that just as you're trying to fall asleep, your brain suddenly won't stop talking? Do your thoughts start racing right before bed or other inopportune times? It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk them through. And therapy gives you a place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. Listen, I've had times in my life, whether it's personal relationships, work, got that thing eating at me, thinking about what's coming up next, or the anxiety of all of that comes with it, or even parenting. I deal with that kind of stuff all the time. And therapy empowers you to be the best version of yourself, something that most of us are trying to achieve. It really helps to talk it out and talk it through. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you're not vibing with therapists, you can go find another, no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts and visit BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Illini today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Illini. All right, Jay Layman, we get to talk about actual football, and there's a lot of interesting things. In Illinois' 30-28 win over Toledo. Should we start with the most exciting thing, the most positive thing out of this, Jay?
Let's do it. We got a win, number one, and probably Luke Altmyer.
Yes, I was going to go there. Illinois gets a win in large part because its quarterback made a ton of big plays. One big mistake, but let's dive into that. People want to hear about Luke Altmyer. What are your thoughts about him?
First of all, I'm trying to remember a better quarterback debut for a player for Illinois in a big game like this. I mean, I think this was an excellent debut, number one. Really, really surprised. We had heard rumors that he was athletic, but again, he's probably never taken a hit since he's been at Illinois just because they've been protecting him. How is he going to be physically? He took some shots. and really stuck it up, not just on the edges and scrambles. He ran it up the middle quite a few times on his own read or a keep or a scramble and made stuff happen. His arm was as advertised, accurate, great touch. Not colossal zip, but certainly enough for the college level to be highly effective. I think, though, all that aside, I think what he showed in the second half, leading the team back, but also in that fourth quarter drive, the last drive, and just the way he was able to step into the throw with someone bearing down on him, admitted in the postgame interview, he didn't see much, basically threw it to a spot to Casey Washington. I mean, that speaks volumes, not only to a fan base, but to your team. You see a guy do that, and you immediately go from, I'm a leader because I'm a quarterback, to I'm the guy, right? And so in that locker room, there's nobody more respected today than Luke Altmyer for what he did. There's a lot of different pieces that played into that moment, which we're going to break down. But at the end of the day, you have to really give the game ball to Luke Altmyer and also Barry Lunney. I thought Barry Lunney did a phenomenal job getting Illinois back into the game. Only had 24 snaps that first half, so was really unable to get into a rhythm because of penalties and different things. But Barry Lunney giving Luke Altmyer a chance to really excel when he needed it most.
Yeah, Jay, I think we saw in the spring that the tools were there for Luke Altmyer, right? He's got the arm, he's got the touch, he's got the athleticism. But my big question was, how does he look under the lights? How does he look after that first big mistake? And it was a terrible throw. Right. It was a terrible decision, but it was the only bad decision. Like he came back and the way he responded to that, I thought was really telling. And to, as you said, I don't know if, I mean, there was probably some miracle in that throw, but he gave him, he gave his guy a chance. And to take that hit, to make that throw, I would imagine, Jay, those guys in the locker room after that game are saying, we might have a dude here.
And I think everybody does think that after what he did, you know, and also a kind of a patchwork offensive line at that point of the game, you know, because Adams had moved over from left tackle to right tackle. Then Adams gets banged up. Then Dengeski moves out to right tackle. So now we're not quite at third string tackle, but we're close, right? And they had one of the best pass rushers on him, hit him with a spin move. And, you know, for Luke to get that ball off, to throw it where was that on a fourth and four, gave Casey Washington an absolute chance. So that was the high point. I think Illinois fans, and we followed this program for a very long time, are accustomed to losing close games, to having a quarterback that can't make the throw, to being just close enough, to messing it up down the stretch. And I think it's a sign of maturity for this football team, able to win this game, which is a big win, right? And I'll say one thing about the mistake, and I think everybody knows it. One, you're throwing to Josh McCray, not a great receiver at this point in his life, right? He certainly can get better. He was triple covered. I mean, over, under, everything, certainly a forced ball. It's like he locked in. But to your point, how did he respond after that? He responded in a very great way and you know, led to two more touchdowns.
All right, Jay, you mentioned Barry Lunney. I want you to dive into that a little bit more. What did you see out of him? Because obviously that opening script was fantastic. They did turn it over on downs deep into Toledo territory, but then they have two huge or three huge scoring drives in the second half.
Yeah, so I think Barry Lunney had a great script going in. One, you saw who he wanted to get the ball to. I mean, we saw that Tip Ryman got some touches, Pat Bryant got some touches, Isaiah Williams got some touches, and Reggie Love got some touches. That was about what we expected for guys that needed to get touches. But what I loved is the misdirection, some of the creativity. You know, we've been accustomed to seeing what I would call the jet sweep pass, just a little flip forward to Isaiah Williams. And he mixed it up, made it, put it into a counter play where Williams stopped on the eye and he countered around. I like the little crossing patterns, but he had time to throw it to actually do those routes, right? Got Pat Bryant. Pat Bryant and Casey Washington, I think we have in those guys two guys that can really catch contested catches on the slant route, which we saw over and over. Saw Pat Bryant early in that drive. And then in the second, I thought like they got way out of rhythm. So they had some penalties, I think, that second or third drive of the game that set them back, right? Put them in, you know, third and long and unable to really convert. And any coordinator, when backed up, and this goes on the inverse for Toledo, as we'll talk about, when they're backed up, you don't have nearly as much rhythm. So they kept having self-inflicted wounds. And again, only 24 plays in that first half, 10 of which were probably on that first drive. You know, so, I mean, it was not a ton going on. What I liked in the second half is they really said, okay, kind of handed the ball to Altmyer. Knew they weren't going to win the game running the football at that point. They had to throw the football, especially when you go down, I believe it was 19-7 at that point. And what I liked is that they went back to their bread and butter, right? Which is just, okay, let's get Pat Bryant. Let's get Isaiah Williams in space. Let's give time. And then next thing up, Casey Washington had some big contested catches on third down as well. You got to give credit to his hands. You know, he may not be a burner. He may not be the most imposing guy, but the guy had tremendous hands. And for the most part, the protection held up. There were some times where there were some breakdowns and Altmyer saved him. And let's just say this, Altmyer, we said Tommy DeVito was good for maybe four first downs because of his ability to run. I think Altmyer was probably 5 or 6 in this game that he extended drives. And so really, really good to see that. Tons to work on, but a lot of positive with Luke Altmyer.
Yeah, and let's go to the other positive. It's weird, Jay, because the game, our biggest questions ended up being the strengths of this team. The secondary on defense really stood up. I want to get into the trench play here, but the secondary, Miles Scott changing the game, Xavier Scott, really good start. I know it wasn't perfect from those guys, but they were really competitive.
Here's the thing. I thought they competed at a very high level. I think, like you said, the biggest questions, quarterback and secondary, were the most resounding answers in the football game. And I think that's a credit to those guys. I think being challenged and saying, hey, we've got to have you guys rise to the occasion. So I think Miles Scott, he actually could have had two interceptions, if I remember correctly. He stepped in front of another ball earlier in the game, maybe in the first quarter, had a chance to get one. Xavier Scott is as advertised. And, you know, they're still missing – let's remember, they're missing some bodies, especially the safety position. It sounds like Tyson Rooks may be back this week, and he'll be a contributor. Obviously, Matthew Bailey out again probably. And Tyler Strain went down. So then you had – I think Elijah McCantos came in for him and did admirably and fought, you know. They didn't have a ton of success passing, and we'll get into why that is, but – for the most part, I thought our defensive backs played extremely, extremely well based on the inexperience that was on that back end.
I want to take a minute and tell you about Homefield. They are a premium collegiate apparel brand based in Indianapolis. They emphasize their commitment to creating incredibly comfortable, officially licensed apparel with vintage college designs. They feature a growing collection over 150 plus colleges to choose from, including, of course, the University of Illinois. Homefield designs are super unique, guys, because they delve into the archives and history of each school, including Illinois, and these unique logos and iconic moments create thoughtfully designed apparel. So if you go to homefieldapparel.com, you can see the 80s Illini football helmet that so many like, flying Illini logo, the Illinois basketball logo from the 2004-2005 Illini team. The script Illini is there. And you guys, these are the most comfortable shirts. And that's what I love about Homefield Apparel. You get the comfort, but you also get authenticity and nostalgia. So I'm telling you guys, give their site a look. It's not the typical Illinois gear you usually see. You can find them at homefieldapparel.com, where you can see their collection of colleges available. And guess what? Our listeners at Illini Inquirer get 15% off their first order with discount code Illini23. Again, 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com with discount code Illini23. So as you go to Illinois football games, get ready for the Illinois basketball season, Homefield Apparel is the perfect apparel to get you ready for the upcoming season. So check them out at homefieldapparel.com.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
All right, so let's talk about the struggles on the line of scrimmage, Jay. This was kind of really surprising. So let's start on the defensive side, because I didn't know if it was the way Aaron Henry, you know, was game planning around Daquan Finn, but I thought Keith Randolph ended up having a pretty good game. I thought he was disruptive the last three quarters. But Johnny Newton just wasn't Johnny Newton, and the outside linebackers really struggled in this one. So what did you see up front?
Yeah, so first off, from the jump, I saw that it looked to me there was a plan to double Newton and Randolph at the point of attack. They thought they could handle our nose tackle, whether that was Daxon or Edwards or whoever it may be, and they were going to double, you know, our 4i or 5-tech, whatever Johnny and Keith play, that inside interior defensive end. And, you know, contrary to what we saw last year, early on, I didn't see Newton or Randolph in that first quarter be really stout against the double team, mm-hmm. right? I saw them getting the line of scrimmage being moved by the Toledo double team. And really, a lot of these running backs were not getting touched until 1-2 yard past the line of scrimmage, which is going to lead to a 3-4-5-6 yard gain. And so they weren't stout at the point of attack. I was really surprised. I thought Toledo played lower. I thought the leverage they played with was exceptional. I saw a lot of defensive linemen, and not just Newton, but Seth Coleman, high. I saw them looking above blocks, trying to get off blocks, rather than getting that penetration with their hands getting off and then making the play. And so I think it was very disconcerting from just a point of attack where I thought that would be our strength. I saw at the point of attack, I think Toledo won at the point of attack more times than not. I will give credit to Keith. I think, you know, Keith was a big part of causing that intentional grounding late, which is basically like a sack. I give Keith a lot of credit for that. I think Keith played better, but I think Johnny knows that the standard for him is much higher just based on what he's done. And one game certainly doesn't define a guy, but I was also, you know, we were looking for some big production from Seth Coleman and Gabe Akis and Alec Bryant. We simply didn't get it. And I think they know that. I thought they got the edge way too many times. I also thought, and I don't know if this was coached or not, but it seemed like there was so much worry about contain on Daquan Finn. We didn't get a great explosive go after it pass rush because we were concerned about rush lanes, right? Let's stay in our rush lanes. It's almost like, oh my gosh, we're so scared about this. It took us out of our game. Now, to a point, they knew Daquan Finn probably couldn't beat them throwing the ball from the pocket, right? So to a point, that probably helped the defensive backs out in which we already talked about. And we know, hey, unless he's out in the role, he's probably not going to hurt us. But at the same time, Daquan Finn still used his legs a lot, number one. Number two, we really didn't sack him much at all. And we had no edge pressure to turn up the clock. And part of that is because of, and I'm rambling here, we didn't have a lot of success at the point of attack on first down. So when it's second and four, they can run or pass. When it's second and three or third and one or third and two, man, we don't know if they're passing or they're running. What was so great about Illinois' defense is they were really good actually on first down last year, in which it was no play or negative play. Now we're second and long, and it would be, hey, let's bring the dogs after them. Let's rush. Well, we got into a lot of second and four, a lot of third and two. Toledo stayed on schedule better than my sixth grader does in middle school. I mean, it was like they were like, boom, boom, boom. You know, like, I just got a middle schooler that went to school, and, you know, first time you change classes, like, I got 10 classes I got to get to, right? So you stay on schedule, right? But, like, Toledo was on schedule the whole night. I think that hampered Aaron Henry as a play caller and is really his, I guess, his second game as a play caller, first regular season game as a play caller, because then you don't know what to do. You end up doing a base D that could maybe stop this, maybe stop that. And it was a lot of bending and unfortunately breaking it sometimes, but wasn't nearly as stout as we're accustomed to. And I think they need to let loose on the pass rush a little bit more. That was a long-winded answer on the front.
No, it's great because it felt like, you know, as you said, they were kind of peeking over, and it felt like it was a read and react kind of thing. When last year I just saw Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph and those guys just pinning back and getting disruption and figure it all out later, right? Did you see that?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, is that when I see guys doing this, it's like trying to fight a guy without looking at him. If you had a boxer blindfolded, you'd probably get beat by the guy who's not blindfolded, right? And so I always say, and coaches say, you got to defeat your block first, right? And feel where the block's going. Like, it's easy to – excuse me, where the ball's going. It's easy when you're watching the game to understand where the ball's going. It's a lot harder. I got a 300-pound guy on me. I've got to feel. I've got to defeat him. Feel him, recognize how he's trying to block me. Hey, if he's trying to get his ear hole over on this side, the run's probably going off his back. So I've got to press him, cross his face, but all this time I got to be penetrating. I can't be going backwards. I might be going across his face. I saw linemen cross face 6 yards down the field and make a tackle 6 yards down the field. A lot of times we saw Newton and Randolph, Gabe Akis, make him play 6-7 yards down the field. That's not their play. Right. They should be making plays at the point of attack. That means there was a great push. And last year, what we saw incredible push extension in the backfield. They might not make the play, but make a drastic cut by that running back to make him bubble. Then the linebackers clean it up. We didn't see that.
Yeah, it's your job, Jay, to make those plays. It's Dylan Rosiak and Tariq Barnes clean it up. Their job is disrupt it, and maybe they'll run into one, but those pressures, those disruptions is what made them so effective.
That's the key. I think, and I love what Urban Meyer said one time, I think Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa maybe had two sacks or something through four games, and it was lower than his production. Kind of like a Johnny Newton situation, right? And I remember Urban said this. He said, when I think about a defensive lineman, I don't think about he has this many sacks or has this many TFLs. I think, how many plays did he disrupt, right? Because his hand is on the ground. He cannot see the entirety of the play or maybe get to the ball carrier. But if you're disruptive, that helps everybody on the team. Even if you make the running back bow one or two steps, that could be the difference between the guy in the corner and not getting the corner. So it's all angles. It's all disruption. And that's what we were looking for. And that's what Johnny was so good at last year, right? And certainly he'll be better moving forward. It's that one game doesn't define him. But I think we want to see more disruption up front.
Yeah, I would expect him to bounce back. I would expect this defensive group to bounce back. But Aaron Henry, like, what would you make of, you know, how they attacked this thing? It did feel like there were some adjustments in the second half there, Jay.
Sure. I mean, here's the thing. No one's going to do great in their first couple starts. I mean, I think Aaron Henry will tell you, man, I learned a lot from that game, right? And I think he's only going to get better. There's a reason that Brett put Aaron Henry at that position, but I don't think it probably was his finest game that he would say that they gave up 29 to a Toledo team and had a very difficult time in what I call the three money-making zones of defense, which is third down, red zone, and turnovers. You know, if you want to be a dynamic defense, you've got to be great on third down. They were not. They were not great on fourth down. They were not. Were they great in the red zone? They were not great in the red zone.
Partially because they shot themselves in the red zone. Partially because they shot themselves in the foot so many times that they
over and over. Whether it was the big scramble from Daquan Finn after the it was a grounding penalty, then it was a big scramble, or getting a stop by Gabe Backus, getting a stop on third and 10, and Gabe Backus gets the late hit call. Even in that first drive with Tariq Barnes, I wasn't able to see what happened. Yeah. But obviously there was an unsportsmanlike that continued the play. So a lot of this isn't Aaron Henry's fault. Schematically, let's just say that, right? But you've got to be good on third down. You got to be good on first down. You were even on the turnover battle, basically. Each team had one, I believe. And then a lot of that comes down to, though, on third down, we didn't have success on first down. That was the big deal. At the point of attack, when they were running the football, we did not have success. And so I do think they became a little bit more aggressive. I did see more zone. I did see not as much man, which we thought would happen, right? And I actually thought, we haven't talked about Dylan Rosiak played actually a solid game, cleaning some stuff up, right, for really his first start. But you know when Brett Bielema comes out and says, who's very pro player in most of his I would say pro player, meaning he'll speak highly of his players in a press conference, really doesn't throw people under the bus. You know, when he says some of our best players on defense didn't play that great without looking at the film, you know, there was some long discussions on Sunday about an expectation that needs to be met. Right. And so I think defensively as a whole, I think Aaron Henry would say he could be better. I think everybody could be better. I think there are some bright spots, but I do think they got more aggressive. I think they realized they needed to do some more things later on in that game to try to create some turnovers, to try to create some havoc. And for the most part, it worked. There was a third quarter stretch they were playing at a high level, and the fourth quarter kind of broke down a little bit.
Offensive line, we expected to be a strength of this team as well. We understand they're working in some new pieces. They had some injuries. They had to move some guys around there, Jay. But you texted me, they weren't able to run when they wanted to run. So what did you see up front?
First of all, this is the story in the Big Ten West. So, I got the privilege to watch a lot of games on Saturday, you know. And let's look at Purdue. Purdue against Fresno State had five runs of third and one or fourth and one that they got stopped every time, right? I mean, literally every time they could not get a yard against the Fresno State defense. I saw Michigan against I believe it was East Carolina or West Carolina. I can't quite remember. They had a third and they ran the same play three times in a row. This is, you know, the Joe Moore Award winning offensive line the last 2 years. They couldn't get a yard when they wanted to get a yard. So there were definitely teams out there that I was like, wow, can you run the ball when you want to run the ball is the key, right? That's the key. And I think we had some struggles with that last year, right? But when we wanted to run the ball and when we wanted to dominate the line of scrimmage, we simply weren't able to do that. Part of that is the offensive line. Part of that is play calling. Part of that is that Reggie Love, I don't know if it was cramps or what, seemed to take a lot of the second and third quarter off. It was Josh McCray in there. I think Josh McCray is still kind of getting his feel for being a running back sometimes. He kind of got going as the fourth quarter went on, but I simply didn't see the push up front, though, from the line that I saw. Matt Millen said it on the broadcast as well. We're not seeing the push. I did see Isaiah Adams later in the game getting a really good push from that guard and position, but I don't think they moved the line of scrimmage like they thought they were going to move the line of scrimmage. And that's really unfortunate, because if we can run the football with a guy like Altmaier, we'll open up the deep passing game. If we can't run the football, it could be a long time before we can stretch the field.
The one thing I would say is it felt, this game kind of felt like Indiana a little bit last year with the turnovers and the inability on these third and fourth and shorts. And I understand, I didn't love the fourth down play call because I thought Luke Altmaier was cooking at that time on the turnover on downs. Yeah. But, that's supposed to be your identity. And like Indiana, they weren't able to convert on some of those. So maybe with time, they can gel, they can figure this out. Got to stay healthy up there, Jay. And I think we saw, when your depth gets challenged a little bit, it gets a little bit dicey.
Well, I mean, we think that the depth has gotten better across the board at Illinois. I was making a joke the other day on another show that the depth at Illinois was about as deep as my sandbox when I was a kid. It wasn't very deep, right? I mean, it was like, you dig and you hit the bottom real quick. I mean, we'd gotten deeper and deeper and deeper. And they certainly tried to get that, but I would say the last place usually to get depth on a football team is the offensive and defensive line. I was talking with some guys from Penn State, and they've talked about how they believe at Penn State, since really everything went down in 2012 with the Sandusky scandal, this is the first time they have depth at the offensive line, and they feel like they're really good. That's how long it took them to get to where they want to. So Illinois is still in progress. One thing I like about Brett Bielema, one thing I like about Bart Miller, is I've seen their line play improve every year from game one, really to game 12. They've had moments, right? But I think they're going to improve. I think this football team's going to improve. I think Brett Bielema comes back in to his team, and I think they're going to give their line play a D for this game on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. They did not dominate the line of scrimmage like they wanted to. That was supposed to be the strength. They protected okay at times, but I would say that Altmaier was under more duress than Finn, right? And so both are mobile guys, Finn probably more. Obviously, Altmaier, much more adept passer. But we need to get better and we need to get deeper. There are some definite holes there, and I see that's still an area we're building as a program.
What is it like? You find a way to win this game, and they should be credited for that, right? The fact that they come and win this game, is there anything different learning from, say, this win than learning from last year's Indiana loss? Because it felt like similar games, and this time you win. Is there anything different this week, or do you guys approach it the same?
I think that's a great question. I feel like losing imprints it on you more than winning does. Just got to be honest. I hate that I was like this, but I remember a lot of the bad plays and mistakes even more than I remember some of the good plays. And I hate that sports are like that, right? But that's just the way that I was wired, because I felt like those moments hurt our team when I make a mistake or whatnot. And so I think there's two things to be said about that. Number one is, I think in previous years, Illinois would be happy with this win. And don't get me wrong, they're happy. But I think they're concerned as well, because they're like, well, this is a wake-up call. We're not as dominant as we thought we were going to be, okay? And then I would say this. After the Indiana game, okay, I was actually less concerned than I am now. Hmm. And that's because I thought, for the most part, we dominated up front. If you remember, after the Indiana game, I was positive about this football team. I said, if you go back to the 2021 season, hey, we beat Penn State up front. We beat Minnesota up front. We beat Northwestern up front, right? We dominated those teams in 2021 up front. And then in 2022, it carried over to Indiana. I said, guys, there hasn't been a Big Ten opponent that's beat us up front, right?
Right.
Well, this is the first time in a while that I thought we got whipped up front on both sides of the football. And so Am I hitting the panic button? I'm absolutely not, but I am concerned because I don't just look at the wins or losses. Obviously, wins and losses are the most important, no question. I was more optimistic about the team after watching Indiana and see what they did defensively and offensively last year than I am about this football team right now, because if your lines are steady, you have a chance to win a lot of games. If your lines play like they did last week, we're not going to win a ton of games. Bottom line, we don't have enough skill guys to make up for it.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And then Kansas coming up next, because this offense is good no matter who's playing quarterback. I think Jalen Daniels is probably going to play in this one. Now, I think Toledo might be better defensively than Kansas, but that's a really right. good offense, and your defensive front's going to have to play better. It's a Power 5 team, so your running game's got to be better. Like, what are you looking for most here, Jay?
Yeah, so you're going to have a mobile quarterback, right? I mean, whoever's playing, they're athletic, they're going to play. I think this, I want to see this defense let loose a little bit from the upfront standpoint. I think they got to let Gabe Backus and Seth Coleman use their athleticism. I understand that you've got to contain, right? I understand that guys are going to get their yards, but those guys are athletic enough to actually make a move and still contain, right? And so I want to see the upfront be more resilient. It's unfortunate that one of the areas that we're banged up in is the secondary, you know, Tyler Strain concussed, you know, with certain protocols. I find it hard that he would be able to go on a Friday. It's unfortunate that, you know, it's a short week. That's unfortunate. It's unfortunate Matthew Bailey's knocked up. It's unfortunate that Tyson Rooks has been banged up. So we are a little bit banged up in the secondary. At the same time, they play well. I think, you know, Miles Scott, they think, can be a star. They think Xavier Scott can be a star. They think Taz Nicholson is as advertised, had some penalty problems. We understand that. But I think from a defensive standpoint, I think you're going to see more aggression, okay? I think Aaron Henry is going to be a lot better at getting a pulse of what they're doing. They've done a lot of prep on Kansas. I'm not too worried about a short week prep-wise. I'm worried about them with a hot day on Saturday, some injuries, and Kansas playing on a Friday, how that plays into it, right? Because they're getting an extra day, right? Just like we'll get an extra day when we play Penn State, in week three. So there's a lot of different factors. You can't worry about that. You can't do that. But I do think it goes a lot to be said that this team is finding out how to win, right? And a win is a win is a win. It is. We got to clean that up. But Kansas is going to be a test. I think this is going to be in the 30s and 40s, this game. I really do. I think that you could see a score of 37, 35. I think you could see a score of 45, 42. Like, you could, based on what our defense was like last game and based on what Kansas's defense is like. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that. That's certainly not the game that Brett Bielema likes to get into. We weren't able to control the clock. We weren't able to control time of possessions. And so a lot of it hinges on how's that offensive line going to be? How's Isaiah Adams' knee going to be? How's Zy Chrysler going to be? Hopefully all those guys get back and we can be in the right spot. We don't have to shuffle around like musical chairs.
Yeah, Jay, and one thing I wanted to bring up with you, that clock rule impacted things across college football. I mean, I think Illinois had four possessions in the first half. So basically, I think you can take out two possessions of each game so that it becomes even more critical every time you get the ball.
Well, I was thinking about this clock rule, and it should help teams that like to shorten the game, mm-hmm. right? So Illinois – you know, is beneficial. Now, it kind of backfires when you have to come back, like Illinois had to come back, right? So it backfires a little bit. But I guess I got to see this with the Ohio State-Indiana game. Long story short, Indiana is a strange subset right now as they ran the triple option against Ohio State, okay? And Ohio State ran more two tight ends and two running backs than I've ever seen. It looked like Jim Tressel football. I don't know if that's a Brian Hartline influence or what. And I know we're going kind of outside the conference here, but I say this because – Ohio State had one explosive play of over 30 yards. It had 42 last year, and they scored 23 points. Rather mundane and underwhelming for what we're accustomed to seeing from Ohio State. But I will say this, who slowed the game down running triple option, just trying to stay close? It was a 7-3 game late into the second quarter. It was Indiana, right? They used that rule to their advantage, right? It just kind of sucked the air out of it. And the game went by much faster than we're accustomed to. So that does change things quite a bit. And I think we'll see more and more of that, of people losing a possession or two.
Yeah. Jay Layman, you're the goods, man. Big game this week, Illinois and Kansas. We'll talk about it next week.
You got it, man. Looking forward to it.
I'm very excited to announce a new partnership with Underdog Fantasy. We decided to partner with Underdog because it's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Underdog Fantasy has a lot to offer, including their Pick'em game. In Pick'em, you pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. It's so easy to play. Just pick 2 to 5 stats of your favorite players and choose whether they'll go higher or lower. You can more than 20 times your amount of money by going 5 for 5. They also have a Best Ball Mania. If you think you know football, you got to check this one out. This year's Best Ball Mania has $50 million in total prizes up for grabs, with the winner taking home $3 million. So sign up today with promo code Illini and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code Illini to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. You must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, great stuff as always from Jay Lehman, our All-American linebacker, Illini Inquirer football analyst. And we will have plenty more at IlliniInquirer.com coming up this week. We talk with Brett Bielema on Monday afternoon. And Joey Wagner will have the latest from Brett Bielema after that one. Injuries, what he saw watching the film. And then we'll talk with coordinators on Tuesday. So we'll get Barry Loney Jr. and Aaron Henry's thoughts on what they saw from their first game. And then we got a quick turnaround. We will get you previewed for a big game at Kansas. And Kansas didn't start off all that well in their first game against, you know, Missouri State. Not a great team, obviously, out of the FCS. But their offense is explosive. And I think no matter who the quarterback is, but Jalen Daniels sounds like he is likely to play. That spread started off -4, now down to -3 or -3.5 in some areas. I think the early preview is Kansas has an explosive offense, but Illinois should be able to score on Kansas. That defense is not very good. Wasn't very good last year. Missouri State was able to score on Kansas a little bit in their opener. And you would think with Luke Altmyer and with an offensive line that you'd expect to play a little bit better, I think Toledo's defense is better than Kansas. But I think Kansas' offense is more explosive, and they have an even more talented quarterback. So that's going to make things really interesting. It's just a fascinating matchup. But Illinois probably feeling a heck of a lot better being 1-0 rather than 0-1 going into this one. So even though you survived by the hair on your chinny-chin-chin against Toledo, you have a win. You are 1-0, and now you're going to Kansas looking to be 2-0. And if you can get home, get a little bit more rest than Penn State, and you try and shock the world on Big Noon kickoff, maybe you're receiving some votes. I think it'd take a pretty impressive performance for Illinois to be ranked after beating Kansas. But Kansas and Toledo are two teams that have been receiving votes as well. So those would be two pretty good wins if you can find a way to start the non-conference 2-0 heading into that Penn State game. But we've had plenty of coverage at Illini Inquirer. Been really proud of what we've done the first week of the season. Got my film review up. Takes a little bit of time to do it, but it's always good to go back and look at these things. And again, Jay Lehman will have his film review. And it's just when you can see what's happening on the screen and you got Jay Lehman breaking down what he sees pre-snap, during the snap, what went wrong, the scheme, what went well, what didn't go well, it's always great to see. So sign up for VIP membership now, 50% off. That's more than $60 of savings at Illini Inquirer. But that deal is expiring very soon. So if you want to become a VIP member, get access to those film reviews, which you learned so much football, go ahead and do that now. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube where you can check out the Jay Lehman interview there. You can check that out as well. Subscribe to us, hit the notifications bell, and we appreciate all the support over there as well. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.